What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Bridging the Geekdoms. With me, I'm Robert Slavinsky, but with me as always is Mr. Me, Colton Bird. Say hello, Colton.
Yo. What's up?
Colton's a little under the weather today, so
I'm
impressed that he's actually here.
Yeah, I'm dying inside.
Just a little.
Nah, probably. Maybe a lot. Who knows?
Who knows?
I skipped my well-being to be here.
Oh, it's boy. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm doing my best Arthur Morgan impersonation today.
Yeah, that's if you want to call it that, because I don't think it sounds like it.
I mean, the last, like, half of the game, he's just coughing 90% of the time.
Oh, that's what you're talking about? Okay, I'm just coughing a whole bunch. Gotcha. Now I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying
it. No, my Arthur Morgan impersonation, or my impersonations in general, are really bad.
Yeah.
I suck at everything. Anyway, how are you? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm dying.
Oh, wait, we just went over that.
Yeah. So what'd you do this week?
Worked a whole shit ton. Like, a lot. Like,
your Friday was busy as hell.
Like, 60 plus hours worth of work this week. And the last 2 days, which were 30 of those 60.
Oof.
They were some of the... I'm still not. Like, that was Saturday. I worked 15 and a half hours Saturday.
What did you end up getting that night?
When I left, food-wise, I went to Sheetz.
Nice.
Yeah, I went to Sheetz. Now, for those of you who aren't in the Pittsburgh area, Sheetz is basically like it's a gas station with made-to-order food. So you can go in there
and
you can order burgers, hot dogs, pizzas, which they call Sheetzes.
Because they actually taste like Sheetz. Yeah.
Some people may know of Wawa. Well, this is kind of the
It's a competitor of it.
Yeah, it's a competitor of Wawa. So that's kind of what it is. And if you don't know what Wawa is, well, I don't know how to help you out there. Because I can compare the two of them, but I can't compare anything else.
It's like a McDonald's, but not really.
No, not
exactly. There you go. There's Wawa.
So, yeah, but yeah, my week was crazy. And then Sunday, I had to drive up to Pittsburgh to help out my mom with some things. You know, hi, Mom. And Monday, which is today, the day we're recording, I had a
way to date the episode.
I actually had a meeting about something that I am really excited about and will be impacting the podcast specifically
and everything around it.
Yeah. So, it's real exciting. You know, we've been doing this now for, we're coming up on our 2 year anniversary.
Crazy.
In about a month and a half.
We've really grown in 2 years.
Yeah, we've grown in 2 years. Now, I've been podcasting in some form or fashion for the better part of 4 years, but Colton and I together have been going strong from his 2 years here. So it's exciting, and how we've grown and what this next adventure is going to be is really exciting.
It's like, no, I'm not going to say. It's like when she's giving you a good old knob slob and it slips a finger.
Yeah, no, it's not like that at all.
Oh, fuck.
Not like that at all. But no, the meeting I had, I'm, like I said, I'm really, really, really looking forward to what's going to come from this. So, again, it does impact our podcast, and I'm hoping it impacts some of the podcasts in the greater Pittsburgh area as well, who we've actually gotten pretty close with, such as one of the big ones, the Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast.
Yeah.
Love their show, love what they do, and, you know, I'm going to try, and with what's coming, I'm going to try and spread the joy and the love.
And the cheer.
And the cheer. And stuff like that. So
we're spreading it all over our faces.
Yeah.
I gotta like breathe halfway through a sentence. It's really bad.
I mean, besides that, I didn't get a chance to go see Alita like I wanted to, just between working and trying to find some time to sleep and everything else.
I mean,
even right now, I'm just exhausted, like sitting here. I'm thinking about sleeping more than anything right now. I'm like, I cannot wait to go to bed later.
That's me like 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
As like when you see me at work and I'm like, oh God, up until about 10:30 in the morning, I'm like, I need to go to bed. Like, I need sleep.
Yeah. So it's an exciting time for the podcast, and you know, maybe
it's a good time to be alive.
Maybe if everything works out right, maybe the big announcement could be on our actual anniversary. How about that? Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, okay. We've got a month and a half. Yeah, that'd be dope.
Makes sense.
That'd be dope.
Makes sense. We always like making announcements and alluding to them, you know, weeks in advance. So,
and the fact that we like to make major announcements on our anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Last year was the change from remote control to Bridging the Geekdom. So, yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah.
And then, like, what, our year and a half, we did the Nerdtalklips Network?
Yeah, it was like a year and a half. Yeah, we became part of the Nerdtalklips Podcast Network. And
2 years, we're just giving you the news.
Yeah, we're doing some cool things. Doing some cool things. Now, I know you saw Alita, you saw Prodigy, and you saw Rebel Wilson film.
Honestly, out of those three films, in my opinion, that stupid Rebel Wilson film was the best.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you really didn't like Alita that much.
I mean, it had an identity crisis.
Yeah. It's been in production hell for years. I mean,
yeah.
It's like initially they were back in the mid-2000s. I think James Cameron was attached to it in like 2008, 2009.
Oh, my God.
And he was going to make it, and then it got pushed off, and then it was back on, and it was back off, and it was back on, and it was back off. You know, so it finally got made. I believe James Cameron is a producer on it.
I think so.
But, yeah, I mean, the production hell that it went through, then it got, you know, it was being made, and then it had a release date, then it got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed back one more. It was pushed back three times for release.
So. There are times when the story makes sense and it looks beautiful, and then there's other times where, like, oh, that's a thing, and it looks like the CGI is from the 90s.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. It's real hit or miss.
I'm still really looking forward to seeing it. I might go after work tomorrow.
I mean, I would probably watch it again if I had nothing else.
Yeah.
The Rebel Wilson movie honestly wasn't that bad. The comedy was kind of spot on. There were some times where I chuckled during it.
I can't even remember the name of that movie.
Isn't it Romantic, I think? Yeah. Or something like that. Rebel Wilson in Romantic, kind of. Not really.
I don't like her as an actress. There's nothing, like, I've never seen her in anything where I thought, you know what, she could be the star of her own movie.
This movie worked for her.
Isn't it Romantic? Yeah, you're right.
This movie worked for her because it's a self-aware rom-com. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you don't really have to act in romantic comedies to begin with.
Yeah.
And
ouch. Wow.
You don't think about it.
You just basically crushed like all the fans of Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey, and there's the only two romantic Hugh Jackman, Sarah Jessica Parker, I can't think of but all those actors and actresses who
okay
are in
I'm sorry I offended
Mark
the
Ruffalo.
Hallmark channel. Ooh, my bad. I mean, but be honest, I'm probably no better than a rom-com actor anyway, so but it was actually kind of funny. Like, there were some raunchy jokes in there, and you know how I am about my raunch.
You do like your raunch.
It was funny.
You like it on the side.
Yeah. But cheeks open. I really like how, you know, like, have you watched Pitch Perfect, like, 2 and 3?
Sadly. Yes.
So you know how Fat Amy and that guy from Workaholics?
Yeah.
He stars in it, too, and they become love interests and actually kind of get together in the end. So I'm like, they totally screwed on the side. Like, in real life, they totally banged. Or they just have a really great chemistry together. But it was cool. And then The Prodigy was cool up until about the last 5 minutes, and it shit on its own story. Like most horror movies.
Yeah.
Like, the premise... Well, do you plan on seeing it?
Well, I mean, I don't, but maybe the listeners do.
Spoiler warning. So basically, the premise is this Hungarian murderer, he's not an ex-murderer, but like serial killer. This girl breaks out. He's known as the hand killer. He like chops off their hands and then kills them. So this girl escapes, and then the SWAT team comes in, and he dies. Just so happens that coincidentally, he dies the same second this kid's born. So, like, and then the movie revolves around reincarnation and how the soul, if it still feels like it has something to do here, it'll weave its way in and take over a body until it has to do what it needs to do, and then it'll leave. Mm-hmm. So, basically, that's what happens. The killer possesses the boy, kills the dog, it starts to allude to it, and then it takes over the boy's body 100%, and then the mother goes to kill the boy. Ow. And, so right before she kills him, like, this hunter out in the woods, like, shoots her in the back, and she dies, and the kid goes off and does his own thing still. And then you're like, okay, the whole movie's like reincarnation. It would make sense for this horror movie to have a sequel where the mother's soul comes back and, you know, but no.
No.
It's like, okay, because that wouldn't give her soul a whole purpose just to kill that, but no, okay. But yeah, it wasn't bad. Nicole wanted to see two of those three movies, so... I mean, well, I wanted to see The Prodigy, but she wanted to see it what we saw, like Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Then we saw Isn't It Romantic Thursday, and then I saw Alita Friday. So, I mean, not bad.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. Absolutely good times. Some interesting things have popped up over the past week when it comes to different things within the nerd and geek world. So
I was cast as Iron Man after Endgame.
I'm going to just, you know, I want to touch bases, touch on a few of these here. The biggest one, obviously, was the discovery and realization that Ben Affleck has finally stated that he is no longer Batman.
Rest in spaghetti, never
forgetting. On an episode of Jimmy Kimmel, he went on and was like, yep, I felt... Well, see, people were... And the thing that makes me mad about this is, okay, I'm not sitting here saying that he did not say he's not going to be Batman anymore. He did say that. Mm-hmm. However, people are utilizing the wrong quotes from him when they're relaying the information that he's no longer playing Batman.
Batman's gay.
The problem is he was supposed to write the Batman, direct it, and star in it. And when Jimmy Kimmel asked him about it, he was like, yes, the Batman, you know, was something I was working on, and I just couldn't crack it, so we gave it over to somebody else to take care of it. He mentions, you know, some other things. But when he says that I wasn't able to crack it, it wasn't that he wasn't able to crack the character and him acting him. He couldn't crack the script. He couldn't get a good script. And everybody keeps trying to relate what he's saying there is, oh, he never was able to pull off being Batman. See, he was a terrible Batman. He even admits it. No, that's complete bullpucky. Like, he was...
Oh, man. That's sensei.
He was completely on board with what Snyder had envisioned and was willing to you know, play the role as was expected of him. And he did in Batman vs. Superman. It was Justice League where things kind of got a little wonky with his character because of the rewrites and everything like that.
Yeah, and the whole shit show that movie
became. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he does say, though, that, you know, it's time for somebody younger to take over. He does say that. You know, he felt it was time for someone to take over, younger to take over. So we know that somebody is, you know, younger, somebody is going to take over. Warner Brothers or DC, I think it was Warner Brothers, stated that it's most likely going to be somebody that's a known actor. And, you know, Robert Pattinson is kind of the one that's, you know, kind of being rumored out there. And I'm good with that. I think he can pull it off. I do.
Just no sparkly vampire shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we'll get that, though. So I think we're okay there. Totally okay. New Mutants reportedly pushed back again.
To never coming out.
I'm telling you, it's not coming out.
It's pushed back to never releasing.
It's just never going to come out. It's just not going to happen. It's just not. I don't know what people keep thinking it's going to, but it's just, it's not going to come out.
Leaks it on Vimeo. Rest in spaghetti, the rest of the Marvel TV shows on Netflix.
Yeah,
absolutely. Rest in spaghetti.
Yeah. What else did happen? I'm trying to get through our Facebook here real quick. Again, I was real busy this weekend, so actually Colton put together the bulk and the meat and potatoes of this show here.
Oh, and I put together some meat and fucking potatoes.
Yeah, so we got that here in a moment. So I'm trying to find...
Darth Vader is now known as Darth Vader. Yeah, it's not gonna help me at all. And Darth Vader. Us Darth Vader story.
Oh, that's right. The big news today I wanted to talk about. Netflix canceling The Punisher and Jessica Jones.
Rest in spaghetti.
Which nobody did not see that coming. Like, everybody saw it coming. It was going to happen. We knew it was happening. And Punisher, thank God, because second season was horrendous. And
I think that was because they were like, well, we're getting canceled, so whatever.
Still, they should have put a little effort into it. Jeez. Then the season 3 of Jessica Jones will be its final. They are still going to premiere it. They're still going to show it, but we know that it's the final season of Jessica Jones.
Just hopefully they weren't like, well, it's the last one. Whatever.
Yeah.
It gives me hope that they'll probably appear on the Disney streaming service and or Hulu.
Hulu stated that they're willing to revive them if they can and when they can, so that's exciting. Let's see.
Hulu's slowly winning over subscribers.
Yeah.
They're like, Netflix is doing all the wrong moves. We'll make all the right ones, and we'll become the popular streaming service.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthem released this past week, the video game Anthem, and neither one of us got
it. I played the beta, and I was like, meh.
Yeah.
I was not impressed.
Yeah, well.
I'll give it a month, and then I'll probably end up getting it.
Doom Patrol released this past week. Now, Doom Patrol...
Doom Patrol.
It's on the DC Universe app. Patrol. So if you have the DC Universe app, Doom. Go I'm so confident that you're going to like this show. I'm going to tell you right now, turn off this podcast and go watch
whoa,
it right now.
Whoa, don't turn, just pause us so you can come back.
Yeah, this show, the first episode, the pilot episode of Doom Patrol, holy crap, man. It was, in my opinion, the best pilot of any TV show I've ever seen.
Was there a bunch of patrolling and a bunch of Doom?
It was just excellent. It was just such a great, great episode because they did it right. They introduce all the main characters, and they do it in such a way that it's just really smart. Mm-hmm. the one character, Robot Man, played by
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, thank you. His real name is Cliff, in this show, his name is Cliff, and he was a race car driver. And his story, I'm telling you, his story, like, it grabbed me, and I was just so captivated by his emotional journey through this. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you don't know much about these characters, Robot Man was a race car driver and is in a
he just had to go fast.
Is in a car accident, and the only thing that they're able to salvage from him is his brain, and they put it into a robot body, and he becomes, you know, Robot Man, and he has all the memories and emotion and everything like that, but he has no, like, he's a robot, so he can't feel, he can't
express anything.
Yeah, I mean, he can express. It's just more difficult for him, you know? So the journey that you go on when you learn about his past, on, you know, him and his wife and his child, you know, how much he loved his child. You know, he was cheating on his wife at the time, and his wife then, you know, cheated on him, and it was going back and forth. They were always fighting and blah, 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 all this stuff.
A completely healthy relationship.
Yeah. But, you know, then when he, you know, quote unquote, dies, you know, it's just everything that comes from that, and it built off that with him and his daughter. And, dude, like, I wasn't crying, but if they would have pulled on one more heartstring, I probably would have been crying. That's how, like, good his story was.
And his puppy's the reason he wrecked his car, because he hit his puppy and it's
no
swerved.
Puppy. You're ruining it.
That's
you're
that's,
ruining it.
That's the lot, one last heartstring right
you're
there.
Ruining it. But then they had some of the other characters, their story, it's good, it's interesting, but his was just the best. But again, they gave the backstory for everybody else, and it was just the coolest way that you can give a backstory, you know. It was just really, really cool, just how they did it. So go watch it. When they're saying that these shows on the DC Universe were going to be dark and edgy, they were not lying, because when you actually see Brendan Fraser at one point cheating on his wife, having sex with another woman, and you see boobies flopping around, like,
nice,
like, that's what they're going with here. And maybe they're just throwing it in there, just to throw it in there, you know. It's gratuitous, it doesn't need to be there, you're right, but they're showing you, you know, like, that's what they're going for, you know. The F word is dropped, there's not an F given, and they're thrown everywhere, you know, like, that's,
there's no E's anywhere, just F's.
Yeah, so it's an excellent show. I highly, highly recommend it. I texted our buddy John, and I was like, "Hey, man, better than Titans." And I kind of agree at this point, even though it's one episode and Titans had 10. I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm like, I was more captivated with this one episode of Doom Patrol than I was in the entirety of Titans. Now, I loved Titans. I absolutely love that show. However, it kind of got bogged down in the later episodes of the season. This, I was just the entire time. I mean, over the course of the season, it could become the same that happened with Titans, and it kind of gets bogged down a little bit. But I love character-driven stories. Absolutely love them. Mm-hmm. And Doom Patrol so far in that first episode is very, very character-driven. And excellent. Excellent. CGI and special effects aren't great, but it's a TV show.
Yeah. You don't expect that.
You gotta give a little, take a little, give a little, take a little, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that was good times. Good times watching. I can't wait to watch it again.
Neat.
I'm going to watch this at the first pilot again. I am. I'm watching it again. The Umbrella Academy dropped on Netflix, which I completely forgot was coming out.
I saw it, and I was like, I don't have time.
Does anybody really have time, though? Does anybody?
Well, and that's when you realize how much time you don't have. That's when you realize you're an adult.
So The Umbrella Academy is an American comic book created and written by Gerard Way. And the first six-issue limited series was called The Umbrella Academy Apocalypse Suite, was released by Dark Horse Comics between September 19th, 2007 and September 20th, 2008. So that's kind of what it is there. The story of The Umbrella Academy takes place in an alternate history where John F. Kennedy was never assassinated and is primarily set in 1977. The titular team is described as a dysfunctional family of superheroes. In the mid-20th century, at the instant of the finishing blow in the cosmic wrestling match, 43 superpowered infants are inexplicably born at random. Unconnected women who show no signs of pregnancy, a modern-day incarnation of the Messiah, essentially, is what they're kind of going with this as. Sir Reginald Hargreaves, a.k.a. the Monocle, an extraterrestrial disguised as a famous entrepreneur, adopts the surviving seven children of these 43 that were born. And it's crazy because these children were born and their mothers weren't pregnant when the day started, but had the children before the day ended.
That's crazy.
So, again, this is, you know, the main story. So he adopts the surviving seven children and prepares them to save the world from an unspecified threat as the Umbrella Academy. In Apocalypse Suite, the team disbanded and failed to stay in contact with each other until they were reunited upon the news of Hargreaves' death and subsequently reformed the team after one of their own number became a super villain. So,
crazy. Yeah. Sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting, and I can't wait to check it out because it is on Netflix.
I feel like that's going to be a thing I'd rather read first before I watch.
Maybe. I don't know.
Also, I do have to remember in post, I'm going to put the G chord right when you said Gerard Way, so all the emo kids can get their eyeliner ready. Gerard Way was the lead singer for My Chemical Romance. You know, Welcome to the Black Parade. Hit that G note. Even my head turns up at the G note. Anyway.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's about it. I don't think there's any other big news or anything that really needed to be talked about.
Jared, the subway guy, still in jail. Episode 9 finished production.
That it did. That it did.
And so did Mandalorian.
Actually, yeah. Interesting that you say that because a news report today from CBR.com states that Disney is planning several Star Wars spinoff series. The report comes from We Got This Covered, which claims Lucasfilm is planning to give four characters their own series on the platform. Spinoffs reportedly in development include Kira and Lando.
Cool.
Finn and Poe.
Yeah.
And they're going to be all on the streaming service.
I bet that means we're not going to get a Solo 2.
No, I don't think we're getting a Solo 2. I really believe that they're going to find another way to put their stories out where it doesn't cost them $300 million to make it.
And everybody boycott it.
Yeah.
Get it. I mean, with the Han and Kira TV show, I don't see why you couldn't.
I guess you're right.
I mean, it would just take you a season or so to tell that story instead of doing it in what, an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah,
whatever. I'll take it.
Yeah, whatever. Either way.
I don't think we need the Finn and Poe at all.
No?
No.
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 No. I'll take Poe. I'd like to see where he came from and see that all in live action. Finn, on the other hand, I mean, he was a stormtrooper.
And so, he should have died in episode 8.
So, I mean, honestly, if they continue his... what do we have to learn prior to episode 7 for him? Nothing.
He trained.
So, this report is essentially saying, hey, guess who survives at the end of episode 9? So, we definitely know Finn survives because this is going to have to take place after that. There's nothing that...
I mean, if episode 7 didn't start out with him, never seeing combat and him, freaking out...
Yeah.
I totally would have been like, okay, so evidently if he was seasoned.
Yeah.
That would be cool to watch, go to different...
No, but he worked in sanitation on Starkiller. We need to watch that?
Yeah, just go watch a man mop a floor for 20 minutes. Maybe sing a nice Imperial March tune or something. Yeah.
as he's sweeping the halls.
Phasma just comes over, kicks over his bucket, and keeps going.
Oh, boy. Why does Phasma hate him so much?
Why doesn't she hate him more?
I do want to give a big shout out to Not Reno Bomb. That is a channel on YouTube. He is a streamer. He plays a lot of different games.
Hi, Reno.
Specifically Rainbow Six Siege. So if you're big fans of watching streams or even jumping on with streamers while they play, Not Reno Bomb on YouTube.
Really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
We play airsoft with him.
Yeah, and you know, he gives us a shout out all the time on his show, so I gotta show some love back, because I will every once in a while, whenever I'm bored, my second job, if I'm completely bored, I will watch my buddy's streams, because I have a few friends that do some streaming on different things, and it's just, I'm really bored, so I'll just put it up in the corner of the computer screen. I'll just sit there watching him play. And
then you troll him a little bit.
Yeah, I trolled our one buddy.
To your right. It was on your left, man.
I kept telling him he sucked the entire time.
You suck.
And what sucked for me was I kept telling him he sucked. Not Reno, this other guy that I was watching. I was like, dude, you suck. Man, a team of fifth graders could do better than your team and stuff like that. He's like, well, first off, I never said I was good. And secondly, I can't speak for the rest of my team, but yeah, I know I suck. I'm like, no, you're supposed to get upset at this.
That's when you become self-aware and you know that you suck. That's essentially how we were.
Yeah.
Now we're just good.
Good at what?
We got good. Get good.
At what?
Life. No.
No. So we got a few more weeks here for our buddy John's Ein's Anthology Kickstarter.
Yeah, I backed that up.
He's making moves. He's making waves.
How far is he into it?
He's got $1,100 he has to make still. So he makes
everybody donate $1,100 a piece.
If we can get 1,100 of you guys that listen to us to donate $1 to his Kickstarter, that would be fantastic.
That would be $1,100 to his Kickstarter.
Exactly. That's what he needs.
Fucking crazy.
But I'm so excited about this book, The Ein's Anthology. Again, I sat down with him and interviewed him about the anthology, and we really just dived into it. It's an excellent book. It's an excellent concept. It is an anthology series based on paranormal and spiritual beings and how one family's life has been connected in some form or fashion with these spiritual and otherworldly beings. It's such an interesting concept. It's so cool. This is book one. He has a plan for 4 books. He has 3 of the books written already. He's trying to get book one out there. So just jump on his Kickstarter. You can find him on Twitter, Ein's Anthology on Twitter.
How do you spell that?
E-Y-N-E-S.
Anthology.
Anthology, yes. You can find him same way on Facebook, Ein's Anthology. Look it up. Find out the information. If you're a fan of independent comics, if you like comics in general, you guys will love this, especially if you know, you're a fan of the otherworldly, spiritual, and you know, weird things like that. So check it out. I'm getting my copy. I can't wait till it comes here because I'm going to read it that day. And
I'm getting mine digitally.
I'm getting a digital one also. I just gave more money than you did. That's all.
Yeah. Well, it's not that. I just want to make sure. I know I'll have $10 in my bank account.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
When it rolls around.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you can donate as much as you want towards. If you want to just say, you know what, I like the idea, but I can't afford a lot of money, just throw a buck in there, like $1. Yeah. That's all it takes. You know? Or if you're like, you know what, I would love to get the book and read it. You can go as low as $10, and that'll guarantee you a digital copy of the book, which is phenomenal. And then I think once you get up to $30, I think
it's 25 or 30.
Is it 25? Then you can get a physical copy of the book. I think it's $20 you get the physical copy, $30 you get a physical and a
and digital.
Digital copy. So
pretty dope.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's formally endorsed by Bridging the Geekdoms. We endorse that.
Yeah,
that
where book. I endorse it wholeheartedly, completely, yes.
Yeet.
Absolutely.
If you want to see more or hear more about that, you did interview him in one of our previous episodes.
I just mentioned that.
Yeah. Well, I'm reiterating it.
Do you pay attention?
Yes, I do. I'm just here, man. I'm here and I'm living. I'm completely sober. I'm just super nasally. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
But hey, make sure you listen to that episode and donate $1. $1 and a starving kid in Africa will still be starving, but we'll be $1 closer to that book.
Yeah, exactly.
Life's problem solved.
All right, so I'm sure I'm forgetting something. unfortunately, like I said, this week has been crazy, but I do want to jump in. We've been, the last 2 weeks have been talking about different things leading up to Avengers Endgame. What we've been talking about is we've been taking characters from the film, from the MCU, the main players, the big characters, the characters that we've all come to learn and love over the last 10 years.
The contributing factors to the Endgame.
Yeah, and we've been breaking them down a little bit and just talking about who they are in the comics, what or if they had anything to do with the Infinity Gauntlet storyline in the comics, as well as what they have brought to the MCU and where they are at now and where they will be at the end of Endgame.
I covered everything up until the end, after Endgame.
What?
Because I figured that was more of a topic of discussion then. Because I mean, I wrote something, but that's just my view. You can put yours in there.
All right.
Dab, 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 dab.
Sure you don't want to read it?
I mean, it's going to take me almost 2 hours to read that if I try to read it.
All right. So, the Guardians of the Galaxy. We all think we know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are because we saw two films on the big screen of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
But did you know there was two teams of the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, but did you know that that wasn't the original team for Guardians of the Galaxy? Did you? Did you? No, in 1969, the original Guardians of the Galaxy appeared in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. They first appeared in Marvel Super Heroes number 18. The Guardians of the Galaxy started out as an idea about super gorillas fighting against Russians and Red Chinese who had taken over and divided the U.S. Let's see, who's this? Editor Stan Lee is saying, I got a sort of a general approval out of the... Or no, that wasn't... Who said this? You didn't type this up very well.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In my defense.
Arnold Drake gave the idea to Arnold Drake since... Wait, I got it.
They were an idea about politicalness.
Yeah. Okay. So the Guardians are active in the 31st century in an alternate timeline of the Marvel Universe known as Earth 691. The original members of the team included Major Vance Astro, also later known as Major Victory, an astronaut from the 20th century Earth who spends 1,000 years traveling to Alpha Centauri in suspended animation. He is also the future alternative version of counterpart Vance Astrovic, the hero known as Justice.
Same.
Other original team members are Martinix Tanaga, a Crystallian being from Pluto, Captain Charlie 27, a soldier from Jupiter, and Yondu Udonta, a blue-skinned noble savage from Centauri 4, the fourth planet orbiting the stars Alpha Centauri B. So many weird things.
That's also why I didn't want to read it.
Each is apparently the last of their kind, and they are forced to unite as a team against the actions of the Badoon, an alien race which attempts to conquer Earth's solar system. Now, a little history for those who don't realize this, but these characters actually showed up in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. They were there, Sylvester Stallone playing one of the characters, Michael Rosenbaum playing one of the characters, and even Miley Cyrus playing one of those characters.
And Robert Slavinsky.
No, I was not. No.
Yeah, you did.
No. So
you were Howard the Duck, obviously.
So the Guardians eventually defeated the Badoon, but soon found themselves facing a new foe called Korvac, who is in part a creation of the Badoon. After teaming with the Thunder God Thor to defeat Korvac in the 31st century, the Guardians then follow Korvac to the 20th century mainstream Earth, where together with the Avengers, they fight a final battle. Now, mind you, a lot of this, I'm guessing, is coming from Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a reference there, so that's why I was like, yeah. The Guardians reappear years later and have a series of adventures in their future, with several others eventually joining the team. The Inhuman Talon, the Skrull Replica, the Second Yellow Jacket, Rita DeMara of the 20th century, and an aged Simon Williams, now called Hollywood Man of Wonder.
You said Simon Williams, and I thought of Simon Pegg. I was like, oh, shit.
Wanting to expand the Guardians to a multiple team organization, Martinix eventually leaves the team to look at additional members for a second unit, nicknamed the Galactic Guardians. So,
wow.
That's your early incarnation of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And a lot of people don't realize that because, you know, what we got from the films in 2000 and 2014 and 2017. We got these two films that, you know, was an excellent, excellent joyride. I mean, the first one, absolutely. One of my favorite movies in the past 15 years. Second one, not so much. But
second one had a good, like, solid 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
But where did these characters come from? Well, the characters, you know, obviously they were part of the comics. Like, you know, James Gunn didn't just randomly make these characters. You know, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Gamora, and Star-Lord were all in the comics. They were all in the Guardians of the Galaxy comics in some form or fashion. But they didn't officially become the team in the comics until
2008.
The Guardians of the Galaxy are fictional space faring superhero team appearing in the American comic books, blah, Marvel Comics. We already did this.
Yeah, I kind of copy and pasted that.
Yeah, I see that. let's see.
Their story is actually crazy in there.
Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning formed the team from existing and previously unrelated characters created by a variety of writers and artists, with an initial roster of Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, Kassar, Adam Warlock, Gamora, Drax, and Groot. I forgot about Drax. These Guardians, these specific ones, first appeared in Annihilation Conquest number 6 in 2008. It was later they were later featured in a film based on this team in the 2014 critically acclaimed movie Guardians of the Galaxy, written and directed by James Gunn. The sequel, titled Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, was released in 2017. The Guardians team is the second to operate under the name, following the original team created by Arnold Drake and Gene Colan in 1969. Ah, boy. You have a whole bunch of more stuff here.
I told you. There's actually one story. I know.
You can't hear me. I think it's the Infinity Crusade's actually really cool.
Okay.
Infinity Crusade. And I also put one for Secret Wars in there, but only because it pertained to the Infinity Stones.
But it's so long.
Yeah, basically long-winded crusade. Adam Warlock splits into two beings after the Infinity Gauntlet storyline.
Okay.
And the good half of Adam Warlock becomes a goddess, and she tries to make... She makes her own planet after finding these 30 eggs. I don't know. They're like space eggs, I guess. Mm-hmm. Space chickens and shit. Anyway, she creates that, and then she becomes like this genocidal person who enslaves all of Earth. And some of the actual heroes, if they're religious or died and came back or something along those lines. And like they have to go and kill her, and they eventually trap her in the Soul Stone.
Interesting.
Post-Infinity Gauntlet, Gamora and Drax are in charge of two stones. During Infinity War, they didn't really do anything in the comics. They fought doppelgangers in the comics.
So, roll an Infinity Gauntlet, because you didn't cover that. Drax takes place in a battle against Thanos with the remaining heroes after the snap. And Nebula, once she discovers the gauntlet... that's it?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Did I not finish my statement?
Yeah.
She goes crazy.
Oh, okay.
She becomes, like, the next Thanos, and then they have to kill her.
Gotcha.
Actually, they don't kill her, but Thanos convinces her to turn back time 24 hours, so everything he killed in 24 hours is reversed and... Yeah, she gets banished.
Roll an Infinity War comic. Attacked by doppelgangers. Defends the Avengers mansion from Doc Ock and doppelgangers while the Avengers and company fight Magus for the gauntlet. Gauntlet.
Yeah. I really struggled typing Infinity and Gauntlet and that thing.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the Infinity Crusade's actually really interesting if you read through it. You don't have to read through it on here, but it, basically Gamora goes crazy and kills everybody.
Yeah. Secret Wars, you wanted me to bring that up, so...
Yeah, only because there's Infinity Stones in it.
After Secret Wars, the Stones started appearing again. In Infinity Countdown, the Guardians are in charge of protecting the Power Stone. They end up using it to fight off Fraternity of Raptors and Chitauri. Other Stones show up with other people like Wolverine, Ultron, and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was kind of interesting that the Stones still kind of play a role after Infinity War.
The
whole Infinity story.
Have any of them died at all in the comics? Like, died final deaths?
No one dies in the comics. Peter Quill dies in the Crusade.
Does he?
Gamora kills him.
Really?
Because he thinks he has the Power Stone, but Gamora switches it with a fake Power Stone. And she knows that, but he's just like, kill me! You can't kill me! So she kills him.
Oh, what a bitch.
And then I kind of just scribbled like one line to summarize a whole movie for the movies. Because at this point, if you haven't seen the movies, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, the first movie is based on the idea of the stone, Power Stone.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't think of which stone it was, so I just put stone.
Yeah. Ronan, you know, he's the Kree Ronan is working for Thanos and hunting down the stones, but he believes if he gets the Power Stone that he can take on Thanos himself, defeat Thanos, as well as rule the galaxy, essentially.
That would have been kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. So that's kind of the idea of the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and then the Guardians win in a dance-off.
Dope. That would have been a kind of interesting what-if scenario. Like, what if he did keep the Power Stone and went against Thanos?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting.
Like, Infinity War would be different.
Yeah.
Because you'd figure, like, oh, I beat Thanos. Might as well go after all the rest of them.
Maybe. Would he, though? I don't know. Who knows? Does he know that there's other ones?
Yeah. Like then you have, like, the whole, like, well, okay, he's going to become a, you know, major villain. Does Vision come around and poop on him or, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
The second film, the Guardians take on Ego, who actually is Peter Quill's father.
And also a Celestial.
And a Celestial, yes. The film revolves around defeating Ego, the living planet. And that's pretty much all it is. I mean, you find out that Ego is the reason why Peter Quill's mother has cancer and is dead, and that drives Peter Quill to hate his father and to want to kill him and defeat him. And that's what the movie is essentially about. Not much more to it than that.
Whack.
Yeah.
Infinity War. They save Thor.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, they save Thor. They then go to...
Well, they split up.
Yeah, you have Groot and Rocket go with Thor to Nidavellir.
Yeah.
And they go to help Thor create a new weapon, which we find out is Stormbreaker.
Which is technically part Groot.
It is part Groot. Why didn't that arm disappear? The shaft of the...
That would have... Ha, continuity flaw.
Oh, man.
Oh, I hear the Marvel fans are getting ready to yell.
But... You know, again, you know, so you have, Rocket and Groot helping Thor, and then you have,
Mantis, Drax,
and Peter Quill,
and Gamora.
Gamora. They go to nowhere to confront Thanos. By confronting Thanos, Gamora gets taken away by Thanos. He then gets it out of her where the Soul Stone, not the Soul Stone.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's the Soul Stone. And where the Soul Stone is, which is on...
Vormir,
thank you.
And don't worry, I know Infinity War. I could help you here.
They go to Vormir, which he then has to sacrifice Gamora, which she dies at that point in time.
I mean, that's probably permadeath as well.
He throws her off the cliff, and she dies. And he gets the Soul Stone. After Thanos has taken Gamora... Star-Lord, Drax, and Mantis go on to look, go to find Gamora, and they go to Thanos' homeworld of Titan to try and find him there, and they come across Tony Stark,
Spider-Man,
and Doctor Strange, and they all come up with an idea on how to take on Thanos and try and defeat him when he shows up on Titan, which they fail.
What would make them think that he would show up on Titan, though?
Because that's where they were headed. So they know because they were headed there with the Time Stone. So they knew that Thanos is trying to collect all the stones, so he's going to show up where the Time Stone is.
Yeah, but why would the Guardians go there? Like, that's just an off chance of, well, he might go there.
Maybe there's a deleted scene or something that wasn't shown in the movie that explains that, maybe?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, that's just a shot in the dark, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say how do they know, because I'm sure Gamora was probably like, oh, he's from Titan.
Yeah.
At any point in time. But, like, what would make them think, like, oh, let's go to Titan?
I honestly, like, I can't tell you.
There's another plot hole there. But, yeah. So, yeah. And then they all die. Well, they get decimated.
All but Rocket are decimated. And Nebula. Because Nebula does show up. And
I don't consider her.
She's technically not a Guardian. She's not technically a Guardian. But she does show up, and I don't have her anywhere else on our list here, so I have to add her to this.
Yeah.
But she does show up, and yeah, that's pretty much it. So we know that everybody but Nebula and Rocket are dead when Infinity War ends, or, you know, they were decimated. Mm-hmm. Where do you think those two are at the beginning of Endgame?
Well, Nebula's probably cruising with Tony Stark on that whatever ship they're on. Rocket probably honestly went with Thor and kind of, like, you know, chilling with Thor. Because they're both from space. So, I mean, like, they kind of have common ground. And even though in all the decimation, like, Thor probably still sees Rocket as, like, the commander of that ship. So, why wouldn't they stick together?
Rabbit.
Yeah, Rabbit. So, like, why wouldn't they stick together?
True.
So, I don't know. I guess with Thor, I guess he would be... Because if they're going to stick together, going to find Asgardians? That's my guess.
I don't know. I mean, I don't... I see Rocket staying on Earth. I do. Mm. I see him staying on Earth because Rocket has always seen himself as an outcast and not, you know, accepted anywhere he goes. Everybody always looks at him funny.
Well, he is a talking raccoon.
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Talking rabbit. But no, he... I think he's going to stay on Earth because he's going to, like, he lost his best friend, his, you know, his companion.
And he's just opening scene for Rocket, him talking to a random tree.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him trying to add some comedy like that into the movie where he's trying to talk to other trees. But
and then you think it's funny and then you think about it. You're like, oh, that's so cruel.
Yeah, but they probably won't add that in there. But I think that he's going to be on Earth. I think he's going to stay on Earth. Thor, on the other hand, I think he's going to be traveling. I think he's going to be going out looking for Valkyrie and, you know, some other, you know, potential help. And, you know,
or just going to look to kick some ass.
Yeah,
maybe. One of the two.
Exactly. I mean, everybody, everything has been destroyed, and you know he's going to blame himself.
Well, I mean,
probably more than anybody else, he's going to blame himself.
You have to think though, if Thanos already killed half the Asgardians, with the snap, cut it down to a quarter of the that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That you might as well just kill the rest of them at that point.
But I mean, really think
about it. That's a genocide.
I mean, you know, think about it. You know, Nebula is going to be with Tony, and I don't want to get too into it because we're focusing on the Guardians here. But you know, you think about all these other characters that are there. They are all going to have their own personal reasons for doing what they do in this movie, and we'll get into it as we touch on the other characters. But when it comes to Rocket, I think Rocket, he wants Groot back.
Yeah, he's blaming himself for Groot's death.
Exactly. And then you take a look at Nebula, and Nebula is, you know, her connection and her relationship with her sister, Gamora, has been...
It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
To say the least.
But the one thing is she feels for Gamora's death. Like, does she blame herself? Probably, because if it wasn't for Nebula giving up that Gamora had the information on where the Soul Stone is, Gamora would still be alive.
Yeah.
So I could see her blaming herself for the death of Gamora. Absolutely.
I mean, she could technically be blamed for the death of everyone.
But again, you know, like I think that's what's going to really drive her, is that whole idea that, you know, if it wasn't for me, my sister would still be alive type of thing. And Thanos wouldn't have done what he did and blah, 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 so on and so forth. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think what we're going to see from Nebula, she's with Tony. I mean, how they get back is still up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, we can say some people think it's going to be Pepper Potts with you utilizing the rescue armor. Some people think it's going to be Captain Marvel shows up. And what is the truth? Who knows? Maybe there is no truth. Maybe they die out in space. And because of this whole use of time travel and different aspects of what we're thinking they're going to be using with the quantum realm, maybe one of the futures that is going to happen is Tony dies in outer space.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's one of our futures. So maybe it's possible that Nebula then dies in outer space because Tony is there as well. So, again, we have no idea, but you have to believe.
What's crazy to think of is they're doing a Dragon Ball Z and creating 15 million timelines. But there's, in this timeline, everybody's dead. Or decimated.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, if they go back in time and change it, it's just creating another timeline.
Depends on how you look at how changing time
works.
Because, you know, there's some theories. If you take the Back to the Future theory, you know, it's you go back in time and what you change, you know, there is a then secondary timeline.
Yeah.
So you have one timeline and another timeline. There are some theories that you go back in time, you change, and there's only one timeline.
Yeah.
But if you change it here, it's just going to change everything forward. So depends on how they want to go with it.
Because, really? I think the the 15 million timeline look would be like, okay, well, everybody's dead. This timeline?
Oh.
Iron Man's dead. Okay, let's just keep on going down the line.
Yeah.
Till we find the, 15, 13 million or whatever. We could see them jump between timelines like that until they find the one timeline that they win.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
That's
for a later
episode. That's going to be way longer than like 3 hours.
For a later episode. We're just talking about the Guardians. So I think they all come back. Gamora is still up in the air. If she comes back or not.
I'd like to think she's permadead.
That kind of sucks because I really like her character. I do. I like her character. I thought she's phenomenal as the character.
I still think the Infinity War thing came a little too early. Like, there's a lot of key people in the comics that, like, aren't even in.
I mean, you got to remember, they're not copying the comics.
Yeah, but like
verbatim. So
not, but like
they're inspired by the comics.
But like things. It would still be cool to see like Adam Warlock and, you know, the whole, because he is essentially the Soul Stone. He's like the Vision.
Yeah.
But cooler.
Yeah.
But like stuff like that, I just feel like there's a couple more characters they should have introduced first.
Yeah.
There was a question I had for you though, but I have to look up the character's name. I can't remember what his name is. It's a Marvel character though.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Thing.
He's the Marvel's Aquaman.
Namor.
Yeah. So in a post Aquaman world, how do you think he would fit into the Marvel universe? Cinematic universe, not the comic.
He's a little more hardened than Aquaman is.
But I mean, like, it's essentially...
But, I mean, he is the Marvel's Aquaman.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I think he's a little more hardened. I know that there was rumor about 5 years ago, maybe a little less, that they were considering bringing him into the fold. There was a lot of talk when they were filming... Inhumans, the TV show Inhumans, that he may show up in that in some form or fashion. So I think they've had talks about bringing Namor in. I don't know if it's going to be anything that happens relatively soon. My guess, if they do it smart, which I think Marvel will do, they'll wait a few years, let the novelty of Aquaman wear off a little bit. So yeah, we're going to get a couple Aquaman movies and this and that, but they can't go up against it right now. Like, if they were to sit there and say, "Oh, we have a Namor movie coming out," people are gonna be like, "Well, you're obviously copying because of the success of Aquaman."
Yeah,
you know, that'll be obvious. I mean, look at what happened with, you know, the success of Wonder Woman, and then they announced the Black Widow movie.
Yeah,
you know, Captain Marvel was always coming. We knew that was coming before Wonder Woman was released.
Yeah, and so it's not even kind of like the same level.
Yeah, but you know, the Black Widow movie was really. Because they saw the success that Wonder Woman had, so like, oh, we can do a movie based off of a woman superhero, and so everybody's like, well, yeah, we've been saying that for years. Why didn't you just do it?
Basically, they just confirmed she survives Infinity War too.
Not necessarily, because it could be a prequel. Because there's a whole lot of backstory for her that we don't know.
But will they do that way?
I think they will. I think we're gonna. I think it's gonna be a mix of current and past for Black Widow.
Sorry, just coughed up a lung.
Yeah, I do. I think we may even see your favorite character, Hawkeye, in it as well.
Fuck him. Sorry. Jeez. He does die in one of those, too.
Mm-hmm.
So happy about that. I saw that. I was like, fuck yeah. But anyway, I think like we'll see it in like 7 years, and this is where Chris Evans will come back into the MCU, and it'll be a World War II movie with Captain America doing Captain America things and him on like the... waterfront side of it, like aiding the U.S. or whatever, and the Navy side of it.
I don't know. I think he'll show up more as like an anti-hero, and at some point in the future, and you know, like I said, he's more hardened. He's not as happy-go-lucky as Aquaman. While yes, he's similar as, you know, because he's an underwater superhero. Yeah. There are some big differences.
He was touched as a kid.
But yeah, I really think that it'll happen at some point. I just don't think it'll be anytime soon. Maybe 5-10 years.
Who do you think's the next big hero that we'll get a movie for?
In Marvel?
Yeah.
That's a good question. if they're still going for the galactic or the
celestial,
not celestial, but the galactic universe that they were talking about, because they were talking about doing the cosmic, that's what they're calling, cosmic universe, because they were, James Gunn, remember, before he was fired from Marvel, was going to be the head of the cosmic universe of the MCU. Mm-hmm. And they had plans to extend and make that such a bigger universe, headlining with the Guardians of the Galaxy. We would have gotten probably more Captain Marvel in that as well. We probably would have gotten an Adam Warlock movie of some sort.
Yeet.
So, you know, I see that happening at some point down the line. But the big hero, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine, because if you think about it, we have our big guys, guns already from Marvel. And Marvel doesn't have a crap ton of famous and huge names, and we've already gotten the big ones. You know, we've gotten Captain America, Iron Man, which wasn't even big whenever Iron Man came out. Yeah. You know, we've had Hulk, we've had Spider-Man, I may have said that already. So we've had the Thor. You know, again, Thor was a bigger one, but not as big as he is now. So when you think about, like, okay, what are they going to pull? What are they going to pull from? I honestly, at this point, I'm not even sure. If anything, it's going to be a reboot of the X-Men. You know,
that would be cool.
That's all I can see from the MCU and Disney. And
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four. That's what I want to see first. I hope they do that before the X-Men. I think for them...
and cast Chris Evans as the Human Torch.
what I think would be perfect is... And I think that the X-Men needs to be rebooted through a television show. Because you can get two or three seasons and cover so much more information than you can in one or two movies.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the best way to go about doing it. Personally, that's just me. Throw it on the Disney streaming app, make it part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah.
Boom,
you go.
Call it a day.
Yeah. But Fantastic Four, absolutely, because the Fantastic Four can be introduced at any point in time because of how they receive their abilities. It's not, you know, the mutant gene, it's not, you know, anything that's related to history of the world. You know, it's because of, you know, experiments that they, you know, they do. So to me, I think that they could be introduced at any point in time. And come on, who doesn't want to see the Thing and the Hulk go head to head at some
point?
That'd
be dope.
Like, how cool would that be to see? You know, so the immovable object against the unstoppable force. Like, come on. That's so cool.
Technically saying neither one would move.
Yeah.
Technically saying.
Yeah, so So
speaking of X-Men, I'm going to drag us on a little bit. Are you excited for Dark Phoenix after that trailer?
I didn't watch the trailer yet.
You didn't watch the trailer?
Did you not listen to me?
Well, no, I figured you would have had like 3 minutes or something.
I honestly heard, I think it was about 3 hours ago, that there was a trailer that came out, and I have yet to see
it. It's okay.
I'm not really excited about it.
It's okay.
I've been saying for a while I can't get excited about these new X-Men movies because
they're done.
They're done. There's nothing that's going to come from these.
It's weird seeing the Horde just sitting in a wheelchair. It's weird.
If you enjoyed our talk on Guardians of the Galaxy, keep in mind in the upcoming weeks, next week, we'll be talking Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. The following week, Scarlet Witch and Vision, and then Hawkeye, Ant-Man and the Wasp on the 11th of May, or the week of the 11th of May. And then Captain Marvel, Maria Hill, and Nick Fury.
It's weird that we're going to talk about Shazam.
And then we'll talk after that, starting on the 25th of March, the week of the 25th, we'll be going to single characters, Black Widow, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and then Iron Man, which will lead us into our Avengers pregame episode. Then we will all go see Endgame, and then we will have our Avengers postgame episode.
Once you see that post-credit scene, assuming that there is one, you know you're in the postgame now, and that's where you can see us.
We won't be right there.
Well, yeah, but... We'll be there. We'll have some content for you. Also, make sure you give us a review on iTunes. Why not? Yeah. We know. Just give us a review. 5 stars. Tell us what you like on your pizza. And we'll read them here.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
5 stars. What you like on your pizza on iTunes. Let's see if we can get on the front page. We've been at it for 2 years. Let's see if we can get on the front page of iTunes.
All right. Let's try.
Let's try it. By April 1st, let's get on the front page of iTunes.
Yeah.
And only you guys can do that.
Well, thanks for listening. Sorry about the, like, downer episode.
Yeah, the non-sick. Yeah, I'm like dead.
I'm exhausted, so.
I think it was fun, though. We've talked about some things and some stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So thanks for listening, and we will talk at you next week.
Bye.